Good morning. You're watching Deprogram with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. It is Monday, July 13th, 2026. Thank you so much for joining. Please like, follow, and share the show. Jamarl will be right with us. We're just waiting for him to join. In the meantime, if you have any questions for Jamarl or myself or for producer Robbie West, there he is right there. Please put them into the live chat on YouTube or Rumble. We give priority to the Rumble rants and the YouTube super chats. We'll have a little bit of an explanation about the some developments related to the financial status of the show a little bit later. Nothing bad, but you can probably guess we'll be asking for your support, which we're always grateful for and which we always need. Let's see here. I'm going to go ahead and put Robbie in here. We're going to be talking about it's basically we have U.S. senators dropping like flies. Lindsey Graham died at the age of 71. He's the, far right, didn't used to be far right, but now far right, neocon, Trumpy, never met a war he didn't like. He died at the age of 71 of quote unquote a brief and sudden illness in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about his legacy and what it all means and what happens next. Meanwhile, hilariously, Mitch McConnell is basically proof of life has finally emerged down to he's with his wife, Elizabeth Chao. There's some speculation that this was an AI photo. He's literally holding like that day's sports section of the Washington Post as proof of life, like he's in an ISIS hostage video. We'll talk about what's going on with Mitch McConnell and sort of what it all means to have sort of these Soviet style cover ups about the state of physical and mental well-being of our political leaders.
I do not believe that photo is real. I think that was 100% AI generated.
Did you see the photo I put up on X?
Yeah.
I had him with Jimmy Hoffa.
No, that was awesome. It's gone viral. Did you see?
No, I didn't. I'm not
people
surprised.
People retweeted the hell out of it. I mean, it's more believable than what the RNC is putting out.
It's like, did you see? I saw one where he was breakdancing from his hospital bed. Yeah. So great. And then, of course, last but not least, U.S. and Iranian forces are exchanging airstrikes over the weekend. Basically, everything comes down to control over the Strait of Hormuz. All right, I don't know what's going on with JT. Is he still on the other? Is he talking to Sloboda? Is that what's going on?
Probably. I don't know who he's talking to right now, but he is still alive. He'll come over eventually. He'll make an appearance.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to have to razz him about.
He's a well-dressed man. I mean, you got to, once you get off the air, he has to go powder his nose.
He's natty is the word.
You can't use white powder because it'd be white face, and that would be racist. So you've got to use.
Powder would be bad.
Yeah, it would be.
Has anyone ever in the history of minstrelsy, did any black performers ever do white face? I mean, Japanese people have done it like in kabuki theater, but I was just wondering, as ghosts and stuff.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea. I cannot tell you.
I have to admit, I don't really understand minstrelsy, like why people enjoyed it, why people did it. Grail Marcus, the rock critic, he had this great term that comes up for stuff like that called the weird old America, Bulldogs playing pool, Velvet Elvis. That's the weird old America. And that's like part of the weird old America. Anyway, all right, let's just get to it. And we got to talk about Lindsey Graham, right? So yeah. Lindsey Graham has died. I guess it was somewhat unexpectedly. He had just come back from Ukraine. And the circumstances of it are reportedly somewhere along these lines. Around 8:30 p.m. Friday night, a call came into DC 911. But from outside the city, from a female caller, saying that the door was open, that an elderly man was having a heart attack or some kind of respiratory distress. The EMS guys went over there. They found the door locked, actually, and then they broke down the door, got in there, and tried to work on Lindsey Graham. And obviously, he didn't make it. Obviously, look, I'm just going to say the not so quiet part out loud, right? I mean, it is widely considered an open secret in official Washington that Lindsey Graham was a closeted homosexual, right? Good morning, JT. How are you?
Good morning, JT.
That's what I fall in on.
That's where you fall.
Yeah, you just come in on people in the closet. And I mean, no, listen, I for one am overjoyed that Lindsey Graham is gone. A lot of people.
Oh, me too.
They say, you should not talk ill of the dead. Sorry, that's the best time to talk ill of them, especially if you are a Christian. If someone is a complete dirtbag, a mass murderer, a sociopath, a degenerate, a poster child for evil in our time, that's Lindsey Graham. And he is roasting in hell right now in the deepest, darkest depths.
From your
list, they may burn for all time and scream for mercy that you're never going to get. Fuck you.
I agree. Yes. And okay. Also, let's face it, like, what kind of bastard? This is a side thing, right? But what kind of a bastard is like obviously a cock goblin all week long, all weekend long, and then votes against gay rights when it comes up? I mean, by the way, I just want to say, you know who I fucking hate in all this is all the mainstream corporate Democrats like Kamala, all these like corporate Democrats like what's his name from Connecticut? Anyway. They're going on and on about what, like, you know, privately, Lindsey Graham was really affable. He was very funny. I really had a good time hanging out with him. And I'm like, oh, good for you. I heard that Hitler could be really charming, too. I mean, who gives a shit? And in a way, it makes it worse, right? So if Lindsey Graham was capable of being a good, decent person, you know, behind closed doors, in the closet, let's say, to coin an expression, then he knew better. He wasn't just an asshole all the time. Like, he knew how to be a good person. But let's face it, what is his life, right? He's not an accountant, right? His life is literally the life of setting public policy and promoting political changes in our system. And what did he do with that life? He used it to murder hundreds of thousands of people, to enable the murder of hundreds of thousands of people, to deny people the ability to see a doctor when they needed to see one. I mean, he made the world a shittier place with his career, with his life. And like, who gives a shit that, like, you know, he was nice behind Clinton. This is like finding out that Hillary Clinton is apparently charming one-on-one. It doesn't do us any good. It's like, it's irrelevant.
Agreed. No, I did a video Sunday morning. I put a suit on. And then I was, as I pointed out, this is the soul that I'm willing to reap, that I will put a suit on and reap. Because I wanted to make sure there are going to be oceans of ink about how Lindsey Graham is a statesman. Lindsey Graham was in the Senate. Lindsey Graham was a degenerate dirtbag murderer that was firmly involved in the murder of kids, the murder of women and children, the murder of Russians, et cetera, et cetera. Pick a group. Lindsey Graham was okay with the murder of that group, the Libyan war, where they effectively got rid of Gaddafi and turned that place into a basket case where they were selling blacks at that point for less than you could buy a car, if I'm not mistaken.
Literally, they had open air slave markets, literally.
Open air slave markets. Do you think Lindsey Graham lost a day of sleep over backing that? No, he did not. Even Jelani at this point. Lindsey Graham is okay with Jelani also, who has been ethnically cleansing minorities in Syria. When you're talking about somebody who has blood gushing off of his hands before he dropped dead, it's Lindsey Graham. And so for people who get skittish about us hitting him on this, it is a sacred duty to ensure that somebody like that does not get commemorated without there be alternative voices pointing out the reality of his life, as opposed to this wisp of smoke that they're going to create in media about somebody who was effectively a soldier for the empire, which is different than being somebody who's backing Americans.
I mean, you know, look, it didn't do his legacy much, you know, any good, whatever legacy he had, to see all the top Israeli officials like Bibi going on and on. In, you know, like, he was such a close friend of Israel. This morning, I had to listen to NPR talk about, like, how, you know, it was so great that he stood up for democracy in Ukraine. I'm like, that's like standing up for veganism at a steakhouse. Okay, there's no democracy there. I mean, there's no elections. Kind of hard to have a democracy when you've got no elections and no election campaigns and no rival political parties. Otherwise, it's a great democracy. I mean, it's, yeah, no, here's the thing too, right? People say, oh, wait till the body is cold. Like, don't say anything. First of all, no, when someone dies is when we assess their life. That's when the obituaries are written. That's when we talk about the good and bad stuff that they all did. And like, nobody, you know, nobody, it's like, nobody wants to hear about Lindsey Graham 3 weeks from now. Okay.
Right.
This is the time. It's now. And the other, you know, who also gives you permission to make fun of Lindsey Graham? Lindsey Graham. He was always an asshole about the people that he helped to kill or whose deaths he approved of. He made fun of them. He was totally bitchy and queenie about it. He talked about, you know, he made fun of the death of the Ayatollah. He had quotes about, like, you know, he was sad that he didn't have enough bombs to kill Iranians with. He was hoping that we would hurry up and ramp up production so we could kill more Iranians. I'm not even paraphrasing there. He was a bad, gleeful man. He wasn't misled. He wasn't complicated. There are people like that. He wasn't one of them.
Yeah, and he was just
he was an unrepentant shitheel.
Yeah.
And like not to mention, like, totally hypocritical. Like, literally, he himself, 99.9% chance, was a member of a historically disadvantaged, you know, group of people, gay people.
Gay.
So someone like him, you know, should have frankly, you shouldn't have to be gay or any other kind of ethnic identity or anything like that to be able to identify with people, with the victims of oppression. You should be able to be like me, a cis, heterosexual, able-bodied, white as shit male dude, and be able to see that when cops are pulling people over and killing them, that it's fucking wrong. But but when you yourself are a member of that group, it boggles the mind. It's like, well, you can't escape it. You know what oppression is. You literally are living a closeted life because you're oppressed, right? He was oppressed as a gay man, and like, he couldn't even come out to his own party and say, by the way. And so that's, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, you got the, it boggles the mind. It's just like, it's sort of like Larry Craig, the senator from Idaho, who did the wide stance in the
St. He has wide stance, right. The wide stance.
Yeah, and he was a family values conservative. And, you know, I've had this debate with Scott Stantis where he's like, how come like it's only Republicans who get picked on like that? I'm like, because Democrats don't go around telling you where you should put your dick, okay?
Right.
But Republicans do. And so if they put their dick in a place that's, like, you know, not officially mentioned, you're allowed to make fun of them. We're allowed to make fun of the fact that Lindsey Graham was gay because he was such in denial about it and because he was a right-wing conservative. If it was, you know, Ted Kennedy, you know, no, not really. It wouldn't be appropriate.
I've got to tell you a story about yesterday when I went to church, because as y'all know, it's kind of an open secret, I guess. Unlike Lindsey Graham, I do wear my Christianity on my sleeve.
Yes.
And
So
I went to church yesterday, and one of the deacons of the pastor came up and said, Robbie, did you hear the horrible news? Lindsey Graham is dead. I said, it's horrible for him, as he's roasting in hell right now. He split hell wide open. I just gave them the same thing right there, the sanctuary of the church. And you got to keep in mind, both are always Republican types, and just like, he was responsible.
He doesn't know you by now. Like,
he was responsible for the death of over a million Iraqis. I mean, God knows how many people it is that he is directly responsible for the death for. I said, he always put Israel first over his own constituency, and his people are dumb enough to keep voting for him. when the hurricane went through North Carolina last year and they're getting flooded out. He said, yeah, I mean, North Carolina's bad, but think about Israel. Think about Israel. It's like, dude, these are your neighbors directly to your north. And you are a pastor, and you're going to come and say, Robbie, what do you think about Lindsey Graham? I didn't say fuck him to the pastor. That would have been inappropriate. However, I did say he is roasting in hell right now, in a devil's hell, screaming for mercy. He's never going to get in good riddance. Your earth is better off without him, and he's a waste of carbon. And the pastor, and the pastor's like, he was speechless. I was like, how do you not know me by now?
Right.
Yeah. That's right. I always love it when people come up to me and say things like that. Like, you know, like Art Spiegelman, you know, the cartoonist, he's going to die, right? I mean, he smokes like 65 packs of cigarettes a day. And he's older than me. He'll die. And people I know are going to call me and say, like, oh, did you hear the terrible news? I'm like, everybody knows I hate him. Okay. And like, you know, it's going to be like, I'm opening up a bottle of champagne when he dies.
Right.
It's like, but people will say that. Well, it's so terrible that, you know. It's weird. Like, also, your pastor, I mean, doesn't he have similar views about gays than you do?
Well, maybe, but I mean, he obviously doesn't have the same values when it comes to the murder of innocent people that I do.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, you could be. I always try to be consistent with my pro-life stance. It's wrong to kill babies in the womb. It's also wrong to kill them with sanctions and by dropping bombs on them. Yeah. Collective punishment is wrong. If it's wrong to arrest people for praying outside of an abortion clinic, it's also wrong to drop a 2,000-pound bomb on a market and eviscerate 300 people.
Or blow up a fisherman just because. Lindsey Graham was all about that.
Yeah. And the thing is,
with any of it.
Well, you know, in fairness, I was already in a bad mood because of some bad news I got over the weekend. So I got there I did not want to go to church yesterday. I just wanted to stay home. But I went because what kind of example would I be setting for my son, and my wife needed me there. So I went, and then the first thing, and I'm already mad at the world, and the pastor's like, what about that poor old Lindsey Graham? I was like, dude, let me tell you, you picked the wrong day and the wrong dude.
Wrong day to have that conversation. Yeah. Nah, man, it's. I saw it, and I was like, it was the first thing I saw on Sunday morning when I woke up. And I was like, wait a minute. Is this right? Lindsey Graham is dead? And I was like, whew, this is going to be a fantastic day. By the way, and then Mitch McConnell.
Garland Nixon is really hilarious, right? He posted, like, you know, food tastes a little better. The weather, the sun shines a little brighter because Lindsey Graham.
It feels like Weekend at Bernie's. That's what it feels like. That it, like, with him just propped up on the bed, and it's like, there's no way that guy's alive.
Let's get through the comments and then we'll move over to Mitch McConnell. But
yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it's basically it's going to be a pretty it's a pretty dark Monday, not in a bad way.
By the way, have you heard the conspiracy theories about Lindsey Graham?
That was the first comment, actually. Was like,
oh, was it?
Was related to that. Sam Paul Masato says Russia definitely bombed Lindsey Graham.
My conspiracy theory is that Graham was looking at those tight Nazis, the buttocks in the military uniforms, their shirts off, and Lindsey Graham is like, oh my God, his heart just couldn't take it.
Yeah, there's so many conspiracies, right? Like that Russia assassinated him because he was talking smack about Russia. Like, right, that didn't happen. And
yeah, it was the high Ukrainian young man.
All this. Okay, well, look, I let's go actual conspiracy. Who made the call? I mean, someone did not. Someone calls not from the house in D.C.
Right, NBC reported the phone call
from Maryland. It
was a cardiac event.
Right. So they get a call. They say, oh, the door's open. You can let yourselves in. They go there. The door's not open. They have to break it down. They go in there. And so, I mean.
Wait, you said the door wasn't open.
The door was not. It was locked. So, one part of me would have loved to have been a police detective, except it would involve working at the police. But I like mysteries, you know. I like trying to put things like what happened here. And it's like, so, all right, here's what I think happened. I think Lindsay was, you know, with a dude, as Lindsay was, you know, I don't know what kind of dude, probably not like a live-in partner, probably like, you know, someone, a boyfriend, a rent boy, you know, a paid person, whatever, an escort. Anyway, and then that person called, that person didn't know what to do. He was probably a regular, called up the staffer.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. Just to be clear. You're saying he was fucking Lindsey Graham.
I think Lindsey Graham, who obviously is not a stranger to the bottle, just look at his face, you know, was doing Viagra, 71 years old, heart attack, down for the count, you know, in like Nelson Rockefeller, right? Like just down for the count. Like he went the way, he died the way we all would want to die, with dignity. And so, well, I mean, dying during sex, I guess, would be great, except for the person. But I think he basically he fucked himself to death. The person called up the staffer, who somehow they knew them. They're like, I don't know what to do, man. He fucking died. And so they're like, get the fuck out of there. Leave the door unlocked, and I'll call 911. You've got 15 minutes to dip. He hops into his Prius and leaves, and then, like, you know, but then he's so addled and scared, he sort of reflectively pulls the door locked behind him, forgets to leave it locked, unlocked, and then like that's what happened. I think I'm 90% sure that's what happened.
See, the problem with that story is that if he would have called the ambulance immediately, they might have saved Lindsey Graham, if that's true.
Yeah, but he died just like, I mean, apparently it was a massive, heart attack, right? So basically, I think it's one of those like, bam.
I'm about to cut.
Right. Did y'all see the new Iranian Lego video?
Yes. Oh, no.
That was so good. It's so good. If y'all have not seen it, you've got to go watch it.
I will.
It's hilarious.
Listen, I'm going to steal the hell out of it. I'm going to put it on deep. I'm going to pin it out there.
I was wondering if they had stopped making those, because I was like,
no, they still make them. They had one where the guy was sneaking in, killed Lindsey Graham, got out.
Well, the thing is, out of character, is I look like a woman, because she checks his name off in the back of the ambulance. Yeah. If obviously been a dude, not some cute Iranian girl, but Laura Loomer, she's like, they're coming after me. They want to come after me next. I'm next on the list. It's like, listen, horse face, no one cares about you.
Now she's gonna die from plastic. She's a plastic surgery disaster. That's what's gonna kill her.
Yeah, yeah. But let's go to comments. I'm sorry, we're
interrupting. All right, here we go. So, all right, F you so. Thanks for the dollar. Your choice to replace the warmongering buddy duo of McCain and Graham. Yeah, by the way, the whole Three Amigos thing, right? They like, oh, the Three Amigos are together. Like, it was, what's his name? Joe Lieberman, who, you know, neocon asshole also. John McCain, also neocon asshole. And like, so they're all three together. I'm sure they are, you know? I mean, yeah. Who would replace... Well, I mean, obviously, one would like to see a good democratic socialist replace him, but it's South Carolina. So,
well, who was it? Strom Thurmond was before, Graham. Yeah,
speaking of a fucking hypocrite with his black daughter,
it'll be Nikki Haley. It's going to be the war Karen. I'm predicting it right now. Nikki Haley,
the war Karen,
the war Karen. I mean, she checks all the boxes, right? I mean, she's a minority. She had the Confederate flag removed from the State House of South Carolina. She is a card-carrying neocon. She is an arch-Zionist. She checks every box. Who else is going to be there?
And she's a chick of color. Of course.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, she's checking all those boxes. The war Karen will be the one who gets in. It won't be an election. She'll be ordained. And then she'll be in there for like the next 50 years, so she goes to hell next.
Yeah.
That's an unimpeachable choice. I'd say. I mean, it could go another direction, but that's a strong pick.
Agree.
Grandchild, thanks for the dollar. isn't it strange that McConnell suddenly came out of the shadows right after Lady Graham ate it? Methinks dark magic is afoot.
Taking his soul from one in order to imbue into the other to bring him back from the...
So let's talk about Mitch McConnell, right? So, so it's been weeks, months really, right? He's disappeared from the face of the earth. I literally spent my yesterday writing my column about this. I mean, it's like we live in the Soviet Union. It's fucking absurd. Like where it's like after the death of like a, you know, or the addlement of our top political figures, we have no fucking idea if they're living or dead. They only release not a video of Mitch McConnell talking because clearly he cannot. There's this photo that, you know, there's reason to believe may or may not be exactly what it seems. I don't know. I mean, there are people who are speculating like, look, in this photo, he looks better. His hair is even a little darker. Maybe it's a youthful photo. I even went to the trouble of trying to figure out which edition of the Washington Post that was because I recognized the font. And I'm like, that's the Washington Post sports page. It turns out it was from yesterday's paper. But I mean, that's easily, you know, AI'd in, no problem. I don't know. I mean, Mitch McConnell he's not with us, right? One of the few things I believe Laura Loomer about, like, I don't think we're ever going to see him again.
Agree. I don't think he's with us. I mean, like, I don't mean he's dead, you know?
Right. No, he's like asshole in a coma. I know.
Yeah. He has a foot in the grave, right? Like, he is obviously not right. Yeah. And I guess the key point is, aside from whether or not he's breathing air shouldn't be the standard, the high bar that you need to cover, right? Like, meaning there should be more to functioning in that role, as opposed to effectively just being a brain with eyes, with nothing necessarily going through from the standpoint of the electricity. There should be more to the job. And that's what I'm trying to get across. Yeah. We've watched Dianne Feinstein literally out of her mind. And if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly, dying in office in the literal sense of the term.
Yep.
We've just watched Lindsey Graham die in office. They had to cart him out out of the House. And now you get Mitch McConnell, who is pretending to still exist and to still be with it. I mean, we had the same thing with Joe Biden, right? Where Joe Biden was literally out of his mind. I mean, he looked like a wandering, you know, where he would just go outside wandering. People would have to bring him back in order to help him out. The one with Maloney, with all the tenderness in the world, taking him and pulling him away. That's sad. That's like an old man being moved around a nursing home. And yet he was the president of the United States, who they kept pretending as if was still mentally there. Same thing with Trump. Right. Trump doesn't seem to be mentally there.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this picture.
Yeah. The gerontocracy is out of control. I think, but like you said, we know why, but the cover up for Biden and Trump, the people around him are running the show and they want to keep running the show. Okay. But Mitch McConnell has already announced that he's going to retire. He's not running for re-election. His term expires at the end of this year. So, as of December 31st at 12 midnight, he's gone anyway. It's already July. So, I mean, and I don't know why Republicans shouldn't care, because Kentucky, I looked this up, in most states, the governor appoints the replacement, right? So that would have been Andy Beshear. He's a Democrat. He could have and probably would have appointed a Democrat to replace Mitch McConnell if and when he croaks. But that's not, Kentucky doesn't have that law. So the Republicans get another Republican to replace him. There would be a special election. So, and Mitch would be no doubt replaced by another Republican.
But wait a minute, if Beshear won as governor, why wouldn't a Democrat win for, or has potential to win?
Well, just because of the demographics of Kentucky.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but just because it's just a red state. Yeah, I mean, no, theoretically a Democrat could win. You know, okay. Theoretically, but I mean, they wouldn't. They just wouldn't. It's Kentucky. I mean, I'm from Ohio. I know Kentucky.
Yeah, Blue Dog Democrats are a thing, so they would win if there even still is such a thing.
Not really. There's not really such a
thing.
Well,
see, I guess my thing is Beshear is governor, and the reason why I say he's governor, or the reason why I'm breaking it up as governor is it's a state election. It wouldn't be like a district election. It would be a state. If a Democrat was able to win the state, why wouldn't a Democrat be able to win the Senate?
Because, I mean, this just like the if you look at the polling, if you look at Real Clear Politics, it's just like, I mean, look, is there a world where, yeah, I hear you about Beshear. I mean, that's just the conventional wisdom, apparently. I mean, maybe the state Democratic Party could come up with someone great who could, you know, who could beat whoever the Republicans come up with. But conventional wisdom is that it's a safe Senate seat for the Republicans. So, I mean, I guess they're worried about that. That's it, maybe. They're just worried about that.
That's why he's staying in that seat as opposed to and waiting for the next election. Yeah. I mean, but he's not voting or anything like that. It's just.
Right. That's a good point. Right. The balance in the Senate doesn't matter. That guy's never going to be on the floor of the United States Senate ever.
Right. So basically, he's a null vote.
Although if a Democrat came in, then that would be plus one D, right?
Correct. So maybe from their point of view, it's better to just keep it on ice as opposed to bring in somebody else that may.
That's what it is. Yeah. All right. Let's keep going here. Enamar Andaraki. Hello, everyone from the Islamic Republic of Japan, land of the rising Sunni. Enderman Arake, the world just became less gay and hell became gayer. And the flags all over hell now. Let's see.
That's so funny.
Oh my God.
And by the way, just to be clear, we don't care that he's gay.
No.
He cared that he was gay. That's what makes it.
Exactly. Look, honestly, he could have decided, although I don't know how he could have pulled this off in South Carolina, he could have theoretically said, like, you know, I'm a openly gay conservative Republican. Okay,
the sassy senator from South Carolina.
Nick Rivera, PhD. Robbie, have you considered that Lindsay is in heaven? Because he could have had a last minute repentance.
True.
Anything is possible.
So true, right?
Anything is possible, but I tend to judge someone by their fruit. And if someone is as fruity as Lindsey Graham, then I want to assume that person never has had a repentant thought in his mind. Because no, here's the thing: the reprobate doctrine is real, and what that is that if you hear the gospel enough, you keep telling God, "No, I'm not interested in what you have to offer. I don't really care about you." Then God will honor your wish, and he'll call you what's called reprobate. He will reject you.
A stalker. God doesn't like show up at your house holding up a boombox and.
No, he gives you what you want. If you don't want to have anything to do with him, he will honor your request. Just like you don't want to have anything to do with me, fine, I won't have anything to do with you either. And you physically cannot get saved at that point because you. It'll never even occur to you to ask for repentance or forgiveness.
Okay. We shall. Okay. I leave the theological questions to Robbie here. Philip Blair, question for Ted. Are those vinyl records on your shelf? Yes. Yes. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. They are. There are many, 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 many vinyl records. And that's my dad's reel-to-reel player up on top there.
Very cool.
And it still works. Okay. Was Lindsay, F. you so, thanks for the dollar. And F. you so wants to know, was Lindsay a top or a bottom? I mean, I know, you know my guess.
Well, you think a top, I think a bottom.
Bottom!
Yeah, I think a bottom. I think a bottom also. That's what when you said my answer, I was like, for who, him or the guy, him or the other person?
Yeah. Talk about catch and release. John Park, Lindsay and Cheney are making hot, delicious love in the depths of hell right now. That's a beautiful thought. Yeah. You know, God, I already ate breakfast this morning, too. I wish I hadn't. P.W. Walker, Lindsey Graham was the Clayton Bigsley of gay people. I miss the Chappelle show. I did see this. Melissa Morgan, they said Grindr is flying their flags at half mast in honor of the guy. Sam Palmisano. Grindr would not do that because Grindr, unlike Lindsey Graham, has integrity to know that to be openly a gay dating platform, right? It is not a closeted gay platform. It is a gay platform, unlike Lindsey Graham. Sam Palmisano, thanks so much for the $50. We're going to get into a little bit why donations like that are super important. Very, I don't know if we're going to do that today or tomorrow, but we got to do it soon. Sam Palmisano says, Lindsey Graham visits drone manufacturer in Ukraine July 10th. Then on July 11th, Russia bombs the same facility, killing everyone there. End of the day, July 11th, Lindsey Graham dies of sudden illness. Pretty sure Russia murdered a U.S. senator. See, I don't follow how that works.
Well, they are thinking that because he was there a day before they bombed it, that Lindsey got killed in the bomb blast, and that the U.S. doesn't want to acknowledge that because that would basically end up in a war. And so the U.S. has pretended that Lindsey Graham died in a snowing accident or skiing accident. Oh, I'm sorry. Died at home alone by himself, despite the fact.
I think someone's been reading too many Frederick Forsyth novels.
Yeah, I think they're reading too much into it. I don't think yes, they bombed the plant. True. They bombed several plants. True. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Lindsey Graham was there.
If Russia was trying to target Lindsey Graham, right? And like Russia missed, they're not going to turn around on a dime and get him the next day.
Right.
they're going to be like plan B to the FSB. We need something else. And it's going to take months to put together.
Yeah. And I don't think they care that much about Lindsey Graham, if I'm being bluntly honest with you.
Yeah. Lindsey
Graham wasn't even in Russia at the time. I think he was in the States. I mean, obviously, he was in the States.
Was a huge conduit between, you know, the Ukrainian government and the U.S., though. I mean.
Yes. Yeah, I don't believe that they would be targeted.
Well, there's very cute, you know, very cute blonde, blue-eyed boys in Kyiv, you know.
I told you, that was my conspiracy theory. It's like those hot young men, those hot young Nazis.
It's like so, so Aryan, so tight, so cute.
So tight.
It's like, yeah, we could do this all day. Like I'll show you, you know, like, give it to me deep in my sea of Azov.
right.
Oh my god. Okay. Doc McPherson. I only heard of Graham's death late last night. Nobody at church mentioned him. I was glad I could focus at church on the gospel rather than the death of that sinner. Yeah, no, that's right. Sam Palmisano thinks for another $5. If we admitted that he died from Russia bombing, then we would have to go to war with them directly. Okay, yes, that's exactly what you said. Who was the worst gay senator, Lindsey Graham or George Santos? Lindsey Graham, because George Santos was a congressman. Joshua James, Jamal is cool, but I really miss John.
We have news
to talk about that. Well,
which I accept. I don't expect to be accepted entirely. Like, it's just life.
if you don't like Jamal, it means you're racist. That's how it works.
That is not where I'm going with that. That's not where I'm going with that. No, man, it's different energy. John is a different character, different personality. I don't have an expectation of replacing him in that way.
Yep. No, it's true. I mean, everybody brings something different to it. Philip Blair, Nancy Mace, U.S. Senator from South Carolina. Could be, for sure. She's jonesing for it. You can tell.
Oh, Nancy Mace, yeah.
She's too white. She's too white.
Said it again?
She's too white. She doesn't check all the boxes. I'm telling you, the war Karen hits every single category.
However, doesn't Trump like Nancy Mace a lot more than Nikki Haley?
It's not about Trump.
It's all about Trump. It's always
Trump
about
Trump. Doesn't have a say in this. It's going to be the RNC machine.
I don't know.
Trump.
I mean, I agree with you about the Nikki Haley thing. I disagree that Trump is not going to have a say if he.
I mean, they're going to talk to him, but you're like, okay, little old man, your butt buddy Lindsey just checked out. Why don't you just go back to playing on Truth Social and let the big boys handle this while you continue losing around?
That is not the experience that I've seen the Republican Party take with Trump. I've seen it as more of subservience. But correct me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong. Then.
Well, I think that the difference is because he is getting his clock cleaned by the Iranians, and he's lost. I mean, they have lost so much credibility by this disaster in the Middle East, that I think that's really has impacted the way that people look at him. Like, they don't no longer see him as the God Emperor who's going to save them. They now see him as the old buffoon who is mourning Lindsey Graham while we are getting bases blown up and American servicemen are getting killed by Iranian missiles right now.
Yeah.
And also the midterms are coming up. That's and a message.
Can we hit that for a moment, or do we have any more messages before we...
It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Well, fair enough. But if there are more messages...
Well, there's more messages, but...
Let's step into that, because I'm curious on both of your takes on that.
We'll get to the messages.
Donald Trump bestrode the globe as a Galactus. I'll put it that way, right? And he was able to effectively bully the Republican Party. But a lot of that power came from the fact that he was popular. Like, he had people who were willing to crawl on hot glass in order to vote for Donald Trump and back Donald Trump and be at his rallies and all this other stuff. If he loses that power in that sense, meaning from the standpoint of the public, does it affect other Republicans in the way other Republicans see and engage him? Like, meaning, do you see that taking place currently? I mean, sure, he's still in the war in Ukraine. That was something he said he was going to get out. Many Republicans hate the fact that he's still giving money and credit to Zelensky. He's initiated a war in Iran. That is not going well. He can bomb Iran all he wants. The issue is that he's lost the strait. Everybody knows he's lost the strait, which if Iran keeps, means he lost the war. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. Reports are coming out that the U.S. was running out of missiles that had came out even before the memorandum of understanding. So that was obviously always true. Air defense, again, running out. Standoff munitions, running out. Mm-hmm. And oil, because the entire point of the memorandum of understanding was to get around the oil issue. This strait was never open fully in earnest. The oil issue is still there. So basically, it feels like a candle burning down, that Donald Trump is trying to get something accomplished before the candle burns to the bottom, whether it's oil or weapons or something like that, whereas this is an issue of endurance. Does the fact that he is embroiled in all of these conflicts damage him politically in a way that affects his power over the Republican Party? And either one of you can answer. I'm just curious on your takes.
You go first, Ted. You're smarter than me.
That's not true, but I totally... no, I agree with Jamal. I mean, I don't think... Yeah, Robbie, you go. It's like, I don't have anything to add to that. So
I'll answer the question. That wasn't a comment. That was more of a, like, I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's false.
Look, here's the thing. I mean, obviously, Trump, under normal circumstances, with Trump's approval ratings, he should have lost internal influence within the Republican Party. The Republican, the old sort of country club, corporate Republicans, should be looking at their chance to seize power again. Ironically, people like Mitch McConnell, he was at the tip of the spear of that kind of proto anti-Trump resistance internally. And now, of course, obviously he is no more. And so I think the problem is that the anti-Trump forces are leaderless and therefore, and fewer. And so therefore, it's still Trump's Republican Party, even though it kind of shouldn't be. Now, will that always be the case? And by always, like in 2 months, will that still be the case? I don't know. But like for the time being, yeah, I think it's still Trump's GOP. But I mean, if I were him, I'd be worried about losing it.
Yeah. What about you, Robbie? I mean, he has like 36% approval rating?
He's less popular than herpes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so here's the whole thing about Trump. He ran in 2016, and really his whole first term is all about winning. That was his whole shtick. Then when he lost in 2020, he's just like, I'm the victim. So you can't at one point be the victim and be the winner at the same time. So that damaged his brand.
Right.
Now here he is again. He has a second term.
Opportunities are abound in politics. So.
Yeah, well, for sure. But now here's the thing, though. He led us into a war that was already unpopular with the vast majority of the American people. They thought so little of us that they couldn't be bothered to manufacture a lie. That's a reason why we're doing this. We're just going to do it. Then to add insult to injury, you go in and then you lose the war. And while you're losing, you have Lindsey Graham, his best friend, come up and say, well, if you're too stupid to support the Iran war, you want Iran to get a nuclear weapon, then you're too stupid to drive anyway. And then Trump just nods along both violently like the idiot that he is. And then Trump says, yeah, no, there's going to be inflation. There'll be, there'll be a price to pay. But don't worry, though. The stock market's going to go up. The stock market does not, contrary to what Achilles Larea thinks, the stock market does not impact the three of us here on the screen right now. It impacts the rich that own a crap ton of stocks. That's not the issue. If people are pissed off enough where they come out in overwhelming numbers and they deliver a resounding defeat to the Republican Party, to the Republicans, well, you can make the argument that that's a unit party. Who cares? It's just it's lipstick on a different pig. But if there is a real difference, though, then if especially if you have presidential ambitions in on the next election, you want to pin this thing on Trump, not on the Republican Party. And that's why you'll have someone that's going to come off as being strong and being a fighter. That's where the Republican establishment would go with a war Karen like Nikki Haley, who checks all those identity politics boxes, as opposed to some white Zionist like the chick that he likes. I can't think of her name right now. Nancy Mace. Her. Why would you go pasty if you could get someone with the tan?
All right.
Just check all the boxes.
We've now bandied this about, and we have more comments to get to, and we have 13 minutes to go. And also, Robbie, I want you to sort of bring us up to speed as to what's going on. Should we just do that? I mean, so there's some John comments I'll put in there. They're relevant to this. Just Filming Really said, when John left, I put Jamarl's name forward. Not sure if my comment was read at that time. It was by me and by Robbie, but I'd like to think I got JT a job. LOL. You were several people when John left brought up Jamarl. You were like the first person a lot of people came up with. You would have been at the top of my list anyway. But like, it was kind of like easy. I mean, I love easy decisions. It wasn't like, oh my God, this person versus that person. John Park. John's cool, but JT and Ted bounce off each other way better. Plus, John never kept in touch with the show or even asked how anyone is. Martina, if anyone still talks to John Kiriakou, can you let him know the best day to start his new show is the 15th, not the 14th? The day he chose to start is a bad day astrologically. Well, right, so, Robbie, I turn the mic over to you.
Okay, so regarding to John, I mentioned before I was kind of in a bad mood on Saturday. Or Sunday. So let me kind of unpack y'all what is going on. And this is going to be relevant to the show. So as y'all know, CAA, they are the ones that got John his new show that starts on the 14th over there on YouTube called The Briefing Room. Up before that time, I was still doing John's social media. I was doing all of his production work and getting paid $1,000 a month by John for doing all that stuff. CAA, they reached out to John saying, so you have to use our people. He is completely isolated. They now control his X account. John gave me, I got my Dear John letter, pun intended, on Friday via text message saying, I'm sorry, it's out of my hands. CAA has control of all of this. Long story short, because I no longer work for John, I have now lost half of my income. And that, needless to say, is that's a big hit. That's a big blow. Now, here's in my opinion, it's all about control. When I talked to John last night, and for the record, I'm not mad at John. This is not John's decision. He has no agency in this. They control him. He is silent.
He did sign a contract with them. Yep.
He did.
Give them this control.
Yeah. And so when I was talking to him last night, I was like, no, John, I want you to understand, I am not mad at you. I understand. This is what it is. CAA is never going to let some hick from Montana handle your stuff if they are going to have these polished Hollywood types just come in and they're going to carry everything that you say. That's the difference. That being said, I told JT and Ted that depending on what happens, and this is my ask for y'all, this could very well be my last month here on this show as well as on TMI, because if I cannot afford to pay my bills, I cannot do this. I'm going to have to get a job at Walmart or something else. I told John that last night. He's like, Rob, you can go work at Walmart. I was like, dude, I have a wife and a kid at home. I have no choice. I have to do what's right for them. Here's my ask for each and every one of you. I'm not asking for a dime. I'm not asking for your money. What I am asking for you to do, though, and some of y'all are already doing this, and I appreciate you, is go over to Rumble and go onto YouTube, search for Putin by Gaming, and just when you go to bed at night, just pull up a playlist and let the videos run. If I make enough money, if I make enough just to absorb most of the hit from that off of YouTube and Rumble, you can keep your favorite right winger here on the show. If not, then the show loses a producer. So, I mean,
we can do the show without Robbie, but it won't be as good. It won't be as tight. It'll be much harder for us to navigate the comments. It'll be, it just won't be as smooth. And it's not always, it's there's a lot behind the scenes technically that you guys don't need to know about. It's not really important, but we need Robbie. That's why he's here. It's not just, I mean, it's fun to have him, but that's not the main point here. He performs a vital, necessary service to the show and to JT and me.
How many hours would you need, Robbie, for the game?
Well, I mean, in total, so on Rumble for the creator program, the two biggest metrics are the 75 live chats during a live stream. I've got those. I'm at 76, so that metric is done. To stay in the program, you got to have 500 watch hours. But of course, the more hours that you get, the more you get paid. I mean, that's right. How Rumble pays. They pay like terrestrial radio does. Right now, I am currently sitting at 340 hours for the month. So that's going to be fine. And the way that really John kind of did this at the best possible time. Well, let me rephrase. It wasn't John. CA did this at the best possible time.
Oh.
Because with the creator program, payouts should go up because smaller creators who cannot stay in the program are going to get their walking papers. I mean, seriously, what my goal is to get 1,000 watch hours a month. If I do that, odds are of them be perfectly fine. And again, I'm not asking for a dime from any of y'all. I'm asking you to go to bed, click on a playlist, let it run.
If you guys can afford it and you can do more, and we appreciate what you already do, please consider it, because it's the bigger the pot is here, the bigger there's a pot for Robbie and for all of us. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're going to donate to the show. But I'm saying that I'm not asking you to donate to me directly, because that hurts the show. That's why when JT came on and John left, and both of these guys argued with me. That's why I suspended Robbie Aid. It does not make any sense for me to rob these two guys for my benefit. That would be dumb, and it would be selfish on my part in the extreme. Seriously, just support the show. And whenever you go to bed, just hop over on YouTube. If you don't want to come to Rumble, do a search for Poopbot Gaming, click on the playlist, let it run.
Please bookmark it so it's like something you just sure. see of your browser, and just hit that sucker, go to sleep.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. Seriously,
I'm going to be doing it every day.
If Rumble pays enough, this will never even come up again.
And it's better to do it on Rumble than YouTube.
Just Rumble
pays more, but I'm going to be doing it on both, because even a small payout from YouTube is still better than no payout at all. Yep. And I have a channel on both, so why not? Mm-hmm. It's just YouTube. I mean, they definitely suppress my channel because it's called Putinbot Gaming. And whenever I introduce myself, it's always as the master of misinformation who influences elections, because that's what I do. And so YouTube hates it. And yeah, it's fun. But seriously,
it's not really their thing. Okay. thanks for having me. All right. More comments here. And yeah, and look, and for the record, I know people are asking, I have not heard from John Kiriakou since the last show on April 1st. And I don't know why, honestly. It's like, I'm sure if I were watching, I'd be like, oh, Ted, you must have done something to piss him off or something like that. I assure you, I did not. It's one thing for him to do that to me, but I don't appreciate what he's done to Robbie. And Robbie's deserves better, really. It's not cool. Okay. And by the way, the only person that John's hurting in all this is himself, because, you know, this is not going to end well. It's like when your friend ends up with the controlling wife or husband and doesn't let them go out with you anymore. And you know it's not going to end well for them. You know, you'll miss your friend, but yeah.
Yep, and people are asking, Putin Bot Gaming. If you have to search for Putin Bot over there on YouTube or Rumble, it's me. I'll pop up. And YouTube, honestly, I mean, they really do hate me. So if you do the run, just occasionally click a like button. That way they know you're a real human. And that's it.
All right. Let's get through the comments with the time we have left. Government Man 43, if Zelensky's a dictator, Putin is 10. Their constitution allows what he's doing. If he refuses to step aside when the war ends, he will be a dictator. He will be a dictator. I mean, we can argue about that.
Elections.
Yeah, no elections, though. I mean, he could allow the elections. It's like self-serving. Dr. MK Ultra, thanks for the £249. Lady G died from an aortic aneurysm, as in me. BH Longhole, thanks for the $10 donation. Much appreciated. Sam Palmisano, $10. Would you all ever do an afternoon night stream or weekend stream for more than an hour? Hint, y'all should play Mecha Chameleon. Thanks for the $10. We would do. I mean, I would do.
I mean, it seemed to cross my mind of, but the time frame is weird. The show runs into TMI immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it would have to be at night.
Yeah, I could do that. All right. So Ashley Morris, I think we need Robbie to stay. Well, I don't always agree with his politics. Me neither. His voice helps keeps a balanced narrative. And it's funny the way all three of you riff off each other.
Yeah. Agree. I agree with that, by the way.
Me too.
I think part of the reason that the show works is because of that.
No, I mean, I like having that point of view. And it's not like a generic Republican point of view. Interstellar, thanks for the $10. Thanks for the content. Always enjoy the show. Jamal is a perfect fit for the show, as others have said. Why don't you, Mark, why don't you guys organize an independent network with other independents like Lee Camp, Hardlands Media, Do Dissidents, and spread Robbie's production over this new mini network?
I will answer this question right now. We already are. So if you're on Rumble or YouTube, it's called the Freedom First Network. It's being headed up by a friend of the show, Jeff Dornick, CEO of Pickaxe. And really? That is something that we are already doing. Yeah, I've sent you the invite, JT. I'll send you another one. No, you're welcome.
Okay, send me another. I'm sorry.
I got you.
Really?
Yes. Come on. Oh, man, what the hell, man? Yes. I'm not icing you out, my brother from another mother. I mean,
it's better you got a text. Just send me a text. Because no. Like the Rumble, the feed on the Rumble thing is, it's a lot. If you just send me a text, I'll get it directly.
Screw you, JT. I sent it over Telegram. But yes, I'll send it again. But the answer is yes, we're already doing this. Because independent creators, the only way that we're going to be able to work together and survive is by working together and cross-pollination. And that way we avoid corporate capture. That's the goal. That's what we're doing. If you're not on Pickaxe, go to Pickaxe.
All of the different channels or all of the different people are on the one channel.
Well, it's all the different people on the same channel. So it's the Freedom First Network. You can find it on both Rumble or YouTube. And I'm already talking with Jeff Dornick, and we'll be uploading videos, and we're setting up a profit-sharing system. So, yes, all this is already in the works. It's already happening, and we are well on our way, and things are looking good.
That's about it.
Montana Native, thank you so much for the $2 donation. Another Montana native, although you're not a Montana native, you're a Montana import.
I'm a transplant.
It's the problem with open borders.
Montana immigrant.
Well, if you have a Southern accent, you're welcome.
Why the fuck do Montanans have a Southern accent when they're up on the border with Canada?
Well, it comes down from the War of Northern Aggression. So Virginia City, they wanted, originally it was called Verna. And so during the war and even after, a lot of Southerners went to Montana for prospecting and stuff, and especially after the war, because it's so open and so wild, they won't live under Yankee occupation. But the carpetbaggers, they went to Montana. A bunch of them went to Brazil too.
Yeah, that's so interesting. It's sort of like Bakersfield with all the hillbillies in California. Anyway, thanks everyone for your incredible support for the show. We really appreciate you. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Jamal. We will see you back for the Q&A show at 12 noon today. That's in just 2 hours. See you then. Looking forward to a TMI coming up right now. And we will talk to you. See you later.
Have fun. Bye-bye.